Let me tell you something. It is the will of God that you walk in the gifts of the Spirit. As we feed on the Word, His sight become our sight. God calls you as you are, but He doesn't want you to remain the way you are. There can be passion in prayer. When the spirit of prayer comes upon you, there's passion in prayer. That door has been shut. That door has been shut. What you need is stamina. There are doors that you need to keep knocking at until
your life must change on this mountain. This is a mountain of power.
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Shidi Jayoba. As you listen, be blessed.
We receive your power in its full measure. All our lives will be changed. You have said to me, this is both a laying on of hand service and an impartation service. It will be so in this place. You are strengthening every child of God here. You are increasing us greatly. Your angels are here mightily to minister in this ministry. And for those even online, the power of God is reaching them strongly. Every sick body will be healed. Miracles will be rough. And people are breaking forth, breaking through by the power of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, have your seats. Now, just a few housekeeping rules as we are in this teaching. It's not going to be very long because we are in a river of utterance kind of month. And I want you to think about something as I teach. You know, as I'm teaching, I will have interruptions of the Spirit. Now, one way that you will channel it your way is by you using your mouth properly. How would you use your mouth properly? Your mouth is not supposed to be silent in this meeting. Where you are, let tongues be under your breath. Where you are, let tongues and desire be under your breath. Quickly this afternoon, I will speak to you about, you know, drawing on the anointing for forceful advancement. Drawing on the anointing, leveraging the anointing for forceful advancement. I perceive in my heart that there are a lot of people listening to me right now, both here online, who are in need of a forceful advancement. And there is a way by God's Spirit that we can enforce, as it were, an advancement. Because truth is, God's desire for us is increase all the time. Psalm 115, increasing more and more you and your children. However, you're unlikely to see increase all the time if you don't have the technicalities of the Spirit, if you don't have a strong will and strong favor and fighting spirit. Because things are not handed over to men. Men grab things. Things are not just on a platter of gold. Yes, there are things that are on a platter of gold. We can talk about what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, redemption, and all of those things. They are great stuff. But when it comes to the affairs of this world and in the conquest, in the battles of this world, there's a need for a man to be taught to be strong, his hands made strong, and he must know how to win every day. God calls his men to win every day. I'm going to look at a few things, and let's start out by looking at Psalms 18. I'll start by looking at Psalms 18, and God will help us. Now, I need to teach this, well, exhort you, so that you know what to do in a meeting like this. You know, the real intention for this meeting is to actually come and just minister to everybody. But I need to say a few things before that happens. Amen. Psalm 18, verse 28, it says, "For thou wilt what light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall." Remember where we started from. It says, You will light my candle and enlighten my darkness. So there is a change, as it were, from a place of darkness, and darkness could be figurative of many things. It could be a lack of direction. Of course, you're not in the darkness in the case that you are not in Christ. That's not what I'm talking about. But the darkness could be, there are those times that things appear bleak. Things appear, as if, have you ever been in a situation where you feel like, is it as if God has forgotten me? In those times of darkness, some people go and then begin to look for pity. Some people go and they begin to cry and wail, and no, that's not the way. There is a God that enlightens our darkness. There is a God that lights our candle. There is a God that is light, and we are light, and can bring light into every situation. Because it is that you are light, but there are some situations that are dark. So what do we do? We know we have a God we can call on, and he will enlighten our darkness. But look at the word that David said. I'm going to use David quite a lot today. David now goes on to say that, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have lived over a wall. Let me point out to you what it means to run through a troop. A troop means, for example, everyone here forms a line, a line, a line, a line, a line. And he's saying, I have run through them. That is forceful. That can only be done by force. And he says, it's by thee. I have run through a troop. So it is God that allows us to go with force against every obstacle. Are you paying attention? Oftentimes, people are trying to do it in, they know that this thing requires forcefulness. They know that in order to break through, this thing requires power. But oftentimes, people are trying to do it in their power. Look at what David said, a mighty warrior. He says, but by thee, I run through the troops. It is still by thee, I have leaped over the wall. How many of you have scaled the wall before? You scaled the wall? Ah, I'm okay with us. Amen. Now, he said, I have leaped over a wall. It's not that you climbed it. You ran and you jumped over a wall. So, impossible things being surmounted, how? By God. By God's power. Amen. There are walls that are set before people, and they wonder, do we go around this wall? Do we push this wall? Do we try this? Do we try that? But see what David said. It is by thee I have lived over this wall. It is by thee I have run through this troop. I'm saying to you, child of God, there is nothing too difficult for you. You know why? There is nothing difficult for God. There is nothing impossible for you. You know why? There's nothing impossible for God. It might look like a troop. It might look like, oh, how do I get there? There are so many things in my front. But I heard in the mouth of the prophet David, he said, it is by you, Jehovah. It is by you I have run through this troop. It is by you I've lived over this wall. Every obstacle. The ones that you must run to, you are running to today. Amen. The ones you must leap over, you are leaping over them today. Amen. I am saying to you, life often requires forceful advancements. Don't think I'm a good person, good things will happen to me. No! There is force in this life because there are obstacles. You must be ready to push. And not by your strength. Realize that Jehovah is an expert at that. Many times people are going through stuff and they say they are praying, but their prayer will not yield anything because their mindset is wrong. Your mindset can be wrong. You can be a good person, but if you don't know how to think, you will not see any advancement. And life requires advancement. You are supposed to be increasing.
Yes, sir.
It's not like, oh, we are being faithful, but no, we are supposed to be increasing the faithfulness.
Yes,
so we must ensure that we are bound by force. See, David, by you, I've run through the troops. By you, I've lived over the walls. That's your story in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Say, believe in amen now.
Amen.
You know, see, in that same Psalm 18, look at verse 42. This David sought an intelligent man spiritually. He says, then did I beat them small as the dust, before the wind. I did cast them out as the dead in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. And thou hast made me the head of the heathens. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. How? By God. And all those things that David defined or described are things that will happen not by negotiations. These are things that will happen by enforcing it. You know, now you are not like David who is trying to fight battles, but there are still battles, right? Yeah. The horde of the enemy, although defeated, they refuse to put their head down. You will have to enforce it. By God! By God! All the strangers shall hear of me and submit themselves. Say, in my family, at this point, everybody, we have this embargo. We have this pattern. I don't really want to call it a generational curse. I don't really want to call it, by God, all the strangers will submit themselves. You've got to have this thing. Don't say, there is this pattern. My sister before me. Everybody in our family. No! When it comes to a man that knows God, the strangers will what? They will submit themselves. Not only will they submit, they will be afraid. There is a level, there's a way you walk in the consciousness of your authority. There's a level that you will walk in the consciousness of who you are in Christ. And that the devils will know. The devils will know you, they will respect you, they will fear you. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. They will know your name also. They will know. Why? It's not just because, I'm the guy who knows I'm born again. That is true. But what have you done with that authority? What have you done to the strangers? What have you done in the city? What have you done? Have you been taking anything? You know, sometimes you say, to be a good Christian is just to accept things. No. Be a good person. Be well-behaved. But when the machinations of the enemy stand against it. In your workplace, everything is going well. You say, I like peace, so let me just represent Jesus. No! You will go home. Every conspiracy against me, break! Break! My family, Lord, I don't know what's happening to my spouse. I don't know what's happening to my husband. I don't know what's happening to his family. As they say, stop all those stupid things. Stand up! The strangers will fade away. Pay attention. Yes, sir. I know I deserve a promotion. I know I deserve a promotion. Stand up. Take it. Yes, sir. Is this making sense to you?
Yes, sir.
People like, don't let it make sense to you. Yeah, no. The strangers are fading away. The strangers are fading away.
Amen.
Look at Psalm 92. Glory to God. Psalm 92, verse 10. How can she get it? This is David. But my horn shall thou exalt as the horn of a unicorn. An unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. What's a unicorn? You know, many times your conception of a unicorn is that horse with, that's not what David was talking about. A unicorn there will refer to a wild ox. Ancient, they are not existing, but those ox were so big, so powerful, so stubborn, and their horns were so strong. Now, in their days, when they think about the horn of a unicorn or the horn of a wild ox, they are thinking about strength. They are thinking about power. They are thinking about kingly authority. If you think about it, an animal that is powerful, that with full ground, the horn is not like this. When it's going forward, can you stop it? No. So when David is saying, my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn, is bringing in language of advancement. David has come to realize that I will need to advance, but God is doing something with me. God has started something with me. He has made my horn. He has made my scepter of authority to be of power, to be of strength. Are you paying attention?
Yes,
to be of authority. And he says, you have anointed me with fresh oil. So in this business of power, there is what is called the anointing. There is what is called the anointing. Oftentimes, our strength fails because we don't know how to draw on the anointing. It's not about your muscle. God be with you. If you are dreaming, it's good. I've been there. It's not profitable. Amen. But see, it's not about the money. It's not about your muscle. It is about being able to draw on the anointing of God upon your life. Can you draw on the anointing? The anointing is there to aid. The anointing is there to lubricate. The anointing is there to push forward. The anointing is not for decoration. This power that God has given to us is not for do you not have power? No! It is for those who know that they have to push. And let me say something. Sometimes you are not just pushing for yourself and your family. As you get more responsible, you push for people. You push for your generation. For example, I'm here to push for you. And I will do it by the anointing. Are you paying attention?
Yes,
when I speak about this, I'm talking about the graces of God on my life. I'm talking about the gift of the Spirit in me, on me. I'm talking about the manifestation of the Spirit. And I'm saying to you, I can grow in the consciousness of it so much that I see every problem, it can be broken. Sir, every problem can be broken by the Spirit. Everything can be broken by the Spirit. Everything can be swallowed up by the Spirit. Everything can be swallowed up by the Spirit. Notice, oh, your problem, there are problems. The problem that comes to your ear, they are not too big. That it came to your ear is a perfect problem for you. It fits you well. What would you do? Draw on the anointing. God has given us something. He has given us His Spirit. We can do His judgment. We can do His statute. All we need is His Spirit. Can we leverage the Spirit? Can we be able to draw on the power of the Spirit? You will see many weaknesses turned around. Why? A man knew to draw on the power of the Spirit. That's something that David was conscious about. And if I can do anything for you in this meeting, that you are conscious of who you are. I'm God's child. I've been made king and priest. I'm anointed. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is upon me.
I can break through.
I am breaking through. Not just for myself.
My family.
And those around me.
As
I take on ministry, I'm going with a breakthrough power. Everyone who comes around me enjoys this breakthrough. Are you paying attention? You must keep saying things like this. Okay, I know you don't really believe it yet, but keep saying it to me. There's an anointing of God upon me for breakthrough. There's an anointing of God upon me to break things. Sicknesses, the bond of sickness, break! The bond of retrogression, break! Stagnancy, break! We can break it all. Nothing that the devil has read up that the Spirit of God cannot break. Kalabakishish. Mande karakishibukutupishishish. This is the Spirit of God that rises as a flood, though. Kana antepere getekates. It is the Spirit of God that makes a man like a tongue tower. Ekri antepere akashibiru. It is the Spirit of God that gives a man boldness. Oh. It's the Spirit of God that makes limitations. Such as limitations that make you think that things that are small are your own. If you stay in love with the Spirit of God, you will find that those things will break. There was something that happened to David when he was anointed. From a boy in the backwaters, in the back end of the wilderness, then he started to see, think big. He started to think big. Yes, God had been preparing, but when that anointing came upon him and he was told, you are the king of Israel, even though he was serving, but he knew his destiny. You can know your destiny and still be humble, but you must know your destiny. Are you paying attention? You must know your destiny. I am not to, you know, some people would have been discouraged if they went to what David went to. When David started to run from Saul, a God himself and, you know, your normal Kev Adulam, prayer. Kev Adulam was a place for rejects. Place for people who didn't have anything good in their life. He got there and vagabonds, murderers, people that have been chased from home, they gathered around him and he made them mighty men. God is making you a man that makes others mighty.
Yeah.
People are coming to you and they are changing. Their lives are changing. Say, I'm a world changer. Say, I'm a world changer. Are you here? See, David. Look at David. You would think that, oh, things are bad. Things are, this is a disaster. Oh, the king has brought me into his palace. Now, I'm running away. And I don't have the niceties of the palace. I was an army captain. I don't have it anymore. I don't have my official car anymore. I don't have all of those things. I am running for my life. And then he gets to a place. And people gather around him. People gather around him and it changes their life. Those men were the same men that he ruled Israel with. People of low standing. And he made them nobles. It is what an anointed man can do. He will not just break the limitation over his life. He will break it for other people too. I'm telling you, if you came to this meeting, limitations are broken. Because you are listening to an anointed man. I need you to start taking this responsibility upon yourself. I am here on this earth for something. I'm not just ordinary here. I'm not just here to make money. I'm not just here to pass away time. I'm here to change the world. Yes, glory to God. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Amen. Same thing with Joseph. Joseph was in prison, a bad place. But he begins to distinguish himself. He begins to distinguish himself so much so he's made in charge of that prison. And then he gives those interpretations and he's called forth. You know, the anointing has a way, if a man will persevere, that he will come out of tight places and then go up to the high mountain. The anointing has a way of taking a man from the low place. It doesn't matter how bad things have been. It's taking him to the palace. The anointing is that great. Daniel was in where? Babylon, right? As a slave. And he became the most consequential man in that place. Why? The anointing. I'm saying in every walk of life, in ministry, in life, the anointing can distinguish you. It is the influence of God. It is the excellence of God. It is what compels favor. It is what compels results. It is what makes things that were impossible possible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. If it is God, nothing shall be impossible. With God means I am anointed. The man who said it is Jesus, and he said, I'll be anointed. Peter described him, said, this man, Jesus, anointed of the Holy Ghost, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Anointed. The key is to be anointed. And I'm saying to you, child of God, you're anointed. Say, I'm anointed. How many people are born again here? Oh, glory to God. Say, I am anointed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have been made king and priests. You know, why their ministry gift is that people mature in it. And I am maturing more and more to be able to use this for others. Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 will tell you that the ministry gifts are given for the perfecting of the saints. But all saints can be ministers. All saints are ministers. There are just some who are more experienced and are giving for the perfecting of the saints. So, for example, as I stand in the office of a prophet here, using apostolic authority here, I'm using this anointing for myself, but I'm also using it for you. Why? Because that is the mandate of God. That's the mandate of God. That this anointing upon us is to break limitations. And you will see in this meeting, limitations will be broken.
Yeah.
Say believe in amen now.
Amen.
Limitations are broken.
Amen.
I'm not saying will again. I'm saying they are being broken now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now notice something about anointed men. They marinate themselves in the consciousness of who they are and how God has called them. David was a man who was given to much meditation. To be given to much meditation is to be a student of God's word, is to be a man of prayer. Many times you don't have inspiration for that difficulty because you have not been in prayer. If your prayer life yields no inspiration, it's a fake prayer life. You can have difficulty in, say, ministry. You can have difficulty, say, in marriage. You can have difficulty, say, in your business. You can have difficulty, say, in your career. But the question I will ask you is, how have you been meditating? How have you stayed with God's word? You can't tell me that you are sincerely studying God's word and praying and light is not breaking forth. Now, when you notice that light is not breaking forth, intensify. Tell your neighbor, intensify. That's time to have prayer. That's time to have fasting. Lord, why is this church not working? Lord, why is this business not working? I know by design it's supposed to work. Why is it not working? I know that we should have gotten a why. Why? Ask questions. Let light break forth. Why? It will open up to you because you're anointed. David was never in doubt that every time he inquires of God, he will get answer. He knew he was anointed. Have that confidence that if you go before God, he will answer you. See, there is nothing too big. We just need to know how to pray. And yeah, fast. Nothing is too big, oh. Can you apply yourself? Have you applied yourself? There are times where we have become expert in managing. We know how to manage situations. We know how to distract ourselves. We know how to, you know, this part of my life isn't working well, but thank God this one is working well. How about dealing with it for once? You know one thing? When you allow the devil small space, he will take bigger space. So what was small, like small affliction, if you don't take time, it will become a great affliction. That's not your case in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Every affliction is broken here.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said every affliction is broken under the sound of my voice.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
What will you do with this anointing? We will break through. There is nothing in front of you that you cannot break. Believe God. Believe yourself. Ah! You know, sometimes people do not pray and they do not fast and they do not stay on God's word because they don't believe themselves. They don't believe that anything good is coming from them. They don't believe that they can be the architect or the engineer of good things. But I'm praying for you that in this meeting, that is changing.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
You are the architect of many good things.
Yeah.
In the place of prayer, you are designing it.
Yeah.
You are crafting it.
Yeah.
You are crafting multi-million naira businesses.
You
are crafting multi-billion naira businesses.
Amen.
There's a way to be intelligent in this kind of meetings. There are words that are already dropping for people. In the place of prayer, you are crafting unique solutions.
Amen.
In the place of prayer, you are crafting great things. You are crafting big things.
Amen.
You are crafting gigantic things.
Amen.
It doesn't take long for God to lift a man from the dunghill and take him to the palace. The man must know how to use the anointing of God on his life. Christians, stop praying weekly. Stop fasting like you don't expect results. There have been times when you will fast and you say, this one did not do. Let's go again. Why do we go again? We believe God. We know that God is on our side. We know that what we need is to push more. We know that what we need is to pull more upon what God has given to us. And many times, this is the knowledge you must have to be able to labor well. I'm saying this because in this half of the year, many of you that will have to see great things in different areas, you will need to labor in meditation. You need to labor in prayers. Don't be tired. You need to labor in fasting. Don't be tired. Dry fast there, water fast there, all of labor. Don't be like, James Ramiki, Jesus, are you an idiot? No, you pray because you know that those things can be broken. Those walls. No, there are different kinds of walls. There are walls that your environment has brought you away. There are walls that are limitations because of your qualification. But, by God, I've lived over these walls. If it is by God, you must know how to leverage the anointing upon your life. Sir, there is prayer and fasting in August. There is prayer and fasting. You are Mark Batra. Pray. You will pray. You will be tired. You wake up and say, no! I refuse it. The mountains must know your voice. They must recognize it that this is the voice of someone that is persistent. I don't care how big those mountains are. I don't care how long they have been. I am saying to you, if you will know and be rest assured that indeed I am God's child, I am anointed, it will break. Get into the habit of breaking things. Oh, in this life, in order to increase, you must break things. You must break things. And we do it by God. Amen. Therefore, I pray for you. Every limitation is broken in the name of Jesus. Say, believe in amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. I see people breaking forth. I see people breaking forth.
Amen.
Let me take you to another extent. Now, let's see through the Bible. And we saw men who were anointed, the children of God. And they met other men. Hallelujah. Because that's what dynamic meeting is majorly hinged on, right? We come and we fellowship with the power of God here. And met other men. For example, Abraham. Abraham will meet the priest of Salem, Melchizedek. And Melchizedek will give him a life-changing word. Melchizedek will open for Abraham a new visa. Abraham had been hearing God, but he took God sending a man in the name Melchizedek to give him that word, which was revolutionary to him. You will know it was revolutionary to him because when he's encountering a king that he should be afraid of, he says, I will not take one thing from you. So you will not say you are the one that made Abraham rich. Because my God is the possessor of the heavens and the earth. That knowledge is worth more than gold. So the anointed can bring you a revelation that is worth more than money. The anointed can tell you something about your life that is worth more than 1 billion naira. See how Abraham says, I will not take a single thing from you. Everybody likes money. Everybody has something they want to do with money. Abraham says, I don't need this. There's something I now know. And the God who is the possessor of the heavens and the earth is my God. You are telling me, you know, he said, don't reject the gift of a powerful man. He said, take your gift. I don't need it. You will not say that you are the one that made me rich. That means that day, pressure ceased from Abraham's life. From that day, pressure ceased though. He knew something about provision. I wish he got it. He knew something about provision. It was like, you know, people say, let me just quickly grab and keep it. Like, no! It will not be said that you made Abraham rich. I don't need your stuff. I have God, who is the possessor of the heavens and the earth. I have God. If I have need, the possessor of the heavens and the earth has not left me. I just look. I just speak. I just pray. My needs are met. My bills are paid. I am in abundance. Hallelujah. Abraham saw something. He saw it. And it came by the ministry of God's priest. I'm saying to you, God will send men your way. He will give you words. Value it. Treasure those words. Those words are the markings of your destiny. They are the makings of your life. that the advancement of your ministry, that the advancement of your life, treasure those words. Words were spoken to you about who you are, what you will do, treasure it. What was spoken to you about your ministry, treasure it. What was spoken to you about what will happen to you in the next 1 year, 2 years, treasure it. About your business, treasure it. Ah! Start calling yourself by those words. Oh. Start it. Don't say, I will wait until I see it. That's an idiot thing. If God has said it, if God has sent his servant to you, take it to the bank. Take it to the bank. Don't wait till you start seeing things turn around. No! That word is already true. Why is it true? Because it came from the mouth of God. It is those who will trust in God. Faith is without having to see evidence. So God has said this is a multi-million company. I believe it. I might be the only one working there, but I believe it. I know that in a short time, I'll be taking my staff to retreat inside plane. I know that just say, we are going on a 3 days retreat. Where? Dubai? People cannot catch it. Ah, clone shell and EB. Clone shell and EB. What's happening? Ah! Your business that you are the one that is doing. Social media manager. Accountant. Producer. CEO. CFO. CTO, COO, Gatesman, only you. You are the one that, who is actually there? You are the only one. That business and God's word has come over it. Believe God. Don't be, there's no some people, they don't go because they can't see beyond their nose. Start to see yourself as God has described you. Say, this is a million dollar company. That's, I believe God. Sometimes you look at, today, no sales, but you shout it, hey! This is a million-dollar company. We are collecting money in dollars. Yes, sir. You will say, No! You start shouting. When the pictures are contrary, you start shouting more. When they are moving, you shout more again. Yes. There's a way you will get with God an increase that you won't be satisfied. Don't be like, we just asked more money. You bought Camry. You say, we don't blow. Thank God. No! This is not where we are going. No? We are still going further. We are still going further. I'm telling you, there are business people here, in the next few years, they will start out renting private jets before they own their own. Yeah. Hear me very well. Hear me very well. Hear me very well. I'm saying that you will know what it feels like. I don't enter private jet, Omo, poverty is a bastard. Hey! Before I say, why people having private jet? Can't they enter? When they enter, I say, hey! Nobody said, come and put off your phone. They just said, what would you have? No, normally when you're not normal flight now, it's always suffering food. You don't know whether it is donut or bread. It looks like donut or bread. And they'll not give you small juice like this. Freshly pressed juice. Inside, I say, let's start with orange juice first. But not a long flight though. I chop. I just sat down. Nobody say, put seatbelt. I just say, poverty is a bastard. All the time you say, why are people buying jets? You can't use money for that thing. I said, I was very stupid. If you sit down in a jet, you'll be happy. The meeting will make sense. You wreck that business, that thing we're going to discuss. Ideas will be flowing, my brother. Amen. Some things that you are against is because poverty has injured your brain. But God is delivering you from it in Jesus' name. Are you paying attention? Amen. Are you paying attention? It is how businesses will be. Because it is not two heads that people like Otodola have. Say, do you know their family? Do you know their uncle? But who is your father? God. I've seen God bring men from the donkey and put them. It's just one meeting. That you need to orchestrate. Just one meeting, no? One meeting. Because in this life, the most important currency is not dollars. It's opportunity. And God is an expert in creating opportunities. He has time and chance in his hand. Times and seasons are in his hand. He can put you in the right place at the right time. meeting the right person. I pray for you that is your story. That meeting that will unlock great riches for you. Stand up! Meetings like that, meetings like that, meetings like that. In the name of Jesus. Medile or periaka oh bekata yadiya dende adambara kacha praying para kashi pokopo business people praying ministry people praying kaya people praying sheba kata bara pokotope ma bofa kata kish. Can you pray? Can you pray? Amen. Sit down. I know this thing by... You see, this thing is God. I have someone I know. When he was going to get into another kind of career, he will just tell you something that it's not that he's the most prayerful person, but he has some parents who can really pray. Amen. And he was going in, and they've been praying for him from young. That's why when you have children, start praying. Before you have children, start praying. Pray for him from young. He said, when he was coming for an interview, that's how I knew that this guy is different. He was driving his car, and he saw an older man, and he was driving. And then he paused, and allowed the man to go forward. So the man bought for him. The man just said, young man, thank you for allowing me. And the man was turning like this. I said, and that interview you are going for, you're going to get it. Yes, let us try it. He went it. He got there. Now, that place was not the greatest sleep for him, because let me tell you, sometimes God will send you to places that are uncomfortable. He will send you to places that are not the sweetest, and this is God's plan for your life. So, he was put in a managerial position, and it was tough for him. Maybe they were not appreciating him like he should. But he kept on doing what he was doing. One time, his boss has told him, don't talk in meetings, don't do this, don't do that. One time, his boss has spoken in a meeting before someone that you know, the founder of Here's Holding. He talk. They don't ask one question. He just said something in 1 minute. When they were going out, the boss was like, he spoke to the person, and I'm not going to mention all their names because I know all of them. He spoke to the person, young man, a very intelligent man. How can you know that someone is very intelligent in 1 minute? You're a very, very intelligent man. Keep it up. Immediately, that kind of busy man called his HR head. Make sure you hire that person. They started pushing him. People inside the organization were like, why should you bring the person at this point? They said, it is Oga at the top. I said, you must hire him. We'll do everything possible. Interestingly, he got that job without interview. But you see how this thing called favor works. At the same time, a better opportunity, international one came. He was not left for choices. Nobody will say, only you? Yes. People are praying, sir. People are praying, sir. Now, you may not have those kind of parents, but you have your home out. Amen. It just took 1 meeting. Why was he in that meeting that day? He just took 1 meeting. He was supposed to just go and observe and take notes. And he just said one time, one of you chess men, and he said, you're a very brilliant man, I must have you. The only reason I could not get him is because it is a World Bank kind of institution that collected him. Are you paying attention?
Yes, sir.
What is it that God cannot do? What is it that God cannot do? I'm telling you how simple life is. It just takes 1 meeting. Just takes 1 meeting.
Yes, sir.
I have proposals. I have this. I have that. I go into opportunities. Because let me tell you how businesses are built. I don't know why I'm talking a lot to business people today, but it's fine. When business are built by opportunities, you just need one person to believe in you and give you a major contract.
Yes, sir.
Those things are engineered by power. It's not as, how did it happen? It's God. Say, everything is God. Tell us how it really happened. Let me tell you how it happened. It is the power of God. Someone leveraged the power of God. Someone latched on it. Someone pushed it. Someone was in prayer. Someone was in confession. Someone was in faith. I said, no, it looks like it's impossible, but I believe God. How many people believe God here? Are you with me? Look at lives of men. Look at David, shepherd boy. Samuel comes into his house, sends for him, anoints him. The trajectory of his life changes. He met the anointed, Kaya Baya Katash. And in a short time from then, he was king of all Israel. There is something that happens when you meet the anointed. There is a way you must respond. Look at Abraham. See response now. When Abraham heard that word, I said, this is a landmark for me. He gave. He gave. That in itself is something spiritual. I was looking at my Bible and I was thinking through it. People that the anointing or others work with them, what did they do? That was very remarkable. Consistently across board is that their natural substance went. Even for those who are not so smart, the prophet insisted. Look at 1 Kings 17. Elijah meets a woman. Oh, let's go there. Let's go there. In Kiproko Shipesh. Man Hakaraka Shiti Shipro. Ella Brekesamodosh. Engarambo Shikitish. 1 Kings 17. Hallelujah. Look at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, arise, go to Zarephath, which belonged to where? Zidon, and dwell there. I commanded a widow there to sustain thee. Now, God has given a woman an assignment to sustain him. But this woman didn't have much. In fact, she didn't have anything. Look at it, verse 11. It says, as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal or food in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I might go on in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. That was our last meal. But I always wonder, why did Elijah say things, something like this? Look at the next verse. And Elijah said unto her, fear not! As he brought in that fear not inside, you know, say God don't enter. That is something that is so akin to angelic ministry. Tell your neighbor, fear not. Hallelujah. Say, go and do as thou hast said, but make thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me. Anyways. So it's not the man of God looking for food. I mean, this is God that was feeding him by the weirdest of things, ravens. Ravens. I remember listening to what General was saying. He has never in his life, you know, sometimes you send gifts to pastor. I said, you're never in life. The anointed, I said, oh, thank you for sending this to me. I said, oh, don't mention you're welcome. No. That he has always counted it a favor and a honor to be able to give. Now, you have some people's account number. It's not easy. I remember how long it took before I got General Moyo's personal account. It's not easy. It's favor. It's favor. Because it's not about them. It's not about them. I mean, sometimes I say, I give 7 GG, I give this, I give that. That is but a drop in the mighty ocean. People are giving almost a billion. So, you are giving a billion this year. What is the 1 million there? So, is that about you? Are you paying attention? But it is that it unleashes something in you. It is a system that God has instituted for breaking forth. See, you cannot sow a seed for salvation,
But in the affairs of this earth, when there is need for breaking forth, when there is need for forceful advancement, many times it requires sacrifice. And those with God and those with the devil know it. Look at that king. Isn't the king of Moab that they surrounded? He looked to his left, surrounded. Right, surrounded. Everywhere, surrounded. He took his firstborn son. He sacrificed him on the wall. The Bible says great indignation was raised against Israel. It simply means that sacrifices make spiritual forces to begin to work. Let me tell you something. If you enjoy angelic ministry a lot, you must be generous. Angels are spurred on by your generosity. Me, I'm generous, so I give to men of God. I give to people around me. I give to widows. I try. Why? That is how light must break. Great that habit. Don't say, I don't have enough. You don't need to have 1 billion naira. What you have is enough to start with. There was a woman who had 2 sticks. How many of you have cooked with firewood before? These 2 sticks you used to use to cook your own. Imagine food is not there. Even what you're going to use cook, no day there again. Elijah says, make for me first. Glory to God. And she obeyed. And then you see what happened with her. Hey, Karabasha touches. Our food did not run out. Even in a bad time. Even in famine. Famine means economy has failed. Famine means things are not working well. Famine means, everybody is complaining. But she will go out and say, But she will go and eat. It means, let me tell you how Bible famine is hard, though. When you look at Elisha's story too, you see how a mother, the king was so angry. Why? 2 mothers were fighting. Why were they fighting? He said, she deceived me. How did she deceive you? She said, we should boil my son. Let us eat him. Tomorrow we eat your son. The king rent his clothes. What kind of rubbish is this? God caught me, Elijah said. That's how farming can be. Where people, do you know what it means? You know, this nowadays, it's wickedness that they now allow men to enter women's ballroom. You'll be seeing everything as is hard. You know, in your father's days, your father was probably outside, and if your father is irresponsible, maybe he was watching ball. Now, if you see, I just saw my wife giving birth. I said, this thing is too hard. Now, even for me, it's almost traumatic. Imagine a woman now saying, with all I've gone through, let us boil this one and eat. That is mad famine. That is famine. Now, the woman was in that case and in her house. There was not a day that her and her family went without food. It means that even where logically, economically, financially, systematically, it ought not to be. You meeting the anointed and words spoken, it can have a sustaining effect, not just a sustaining effect. It can have a breakthrough effect. We see this across the Bible. We see this in many of Elijah's testimonies, in many of Elisha's testimonies also. All they did out from themselves, they ministered to others. And they were able to break things on behalf. Remember that Shunammite woman? What did she do again? She saw the prophet just walking around, say, mighty prophet, everybody was greeting him. Just said, call her husband. And that's why he was my intelligent wife. Said, it's not good that this man is always walking here. Let's build a penthouse on top so that if he passes here, he just say, daddy, please sleep in our house. Because he didn't need to do that. They built it, they told the man of God. The man of God saw the generosity like that. What can we do for this man? He said, call her. You see our reverend. The Bible says she stood at the door. He said, what can I do for you? Do you want me to introduce you to the king? Do you want me to introduce you to the powerful people in the society? What can you do? No, the man of God is speaking naturally. He said, man of God, I'm my own people. I'm fine. God has blessed us. Then he looked at Gehazi. Gehazi said, sir, she no get picking up. And she done the old. Elisha, something does, something worrying, Abi. You get as you go do something like this. You go wear person. It's just at the time of life, you have your child. The woman said, me, I've moved on from this thing because I said it earlier. Sometimes you get used to managing things. Just say, well, we don't need to have a child now. We will love ourselves. And my husband is here. We will help the orphans. We have the desire that you have, you're not dead in it. You know, people are like, I would have loved to go to school. What school? I'd have loved to go to this school. Maybe some people say, you know, some people say Harvard. But time don't go. Don't deaden those desires. Don't. He said, man of God, don't lie to me. Mm-mm. Ah, man of God said, I have said it. And at the time of life, she had a son. How was that thing started? She just saw the man of God. And I don't even know if Elijah actually needed it. Elisha, rather. I don't think he needed it. But being a wise woman, she saw it and just began to do it. One thing, I was speaking to a prophet, he was telling me that, see, everywhere I go, like me going anointed, I must do something for them. Now, even if I go there for business, I must do something for them because I know, because this is a very prophetic person. And so I know that anything, that is a way to open it. Like if I go somewhere, like, for example, if you are in the airport now, and I bump into someone like this, oh, even that 1,000 I get from my pocket, I will show it. It's not, I remember one of these days, I was in a meeting, Pastor was talking about one meeting he went to Port Harcourt for, and then it was general's meeting, and he got there, and all the money they used to buy tickets. Maybe like 100 naira, 1,000 naira, something like that, was in their pocket. And so Bishop David Abioye, he just ran with the money in their hand, and knelt down, just hyping. I said, young people, what's going on here? I said, just bless us. And he laid hands on them and blessed them. A lot of things are changing for them. Why? He has recognized a system of honor. Because there are things that by your standing and by what you know, you cannot break through on your own. You will need to leverage on what God has put on another person and leverage that higher anointing, as it were, and now break through. There are things that are become stagnant issues in your life that it's good that you have been praying about it. It's good that you have been fasting about it. But what you need is a hand upon your life. What you need is a word from a prophet. What you need is a word from God's anointed. And I assure you, you are in the right meeting for that. It's happening to you tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know, when you go on, the Bible is replete of many stories like this. I'm saying to you, there's an anointing in your life. But God has already equipped you with anointed people around you. Yes, with the boat, you can beat anything. Yes, nothing is too difficult. That dream is not too big. How did they build again? They build by the prophesying of who? By the prophesying of who? Allah, yeah, Dada. Shikela. Some of you have been building in futility because you do not use words. Use words properly. I'm building something. I know it's going to be a great thing. I need words. Lay hands severally. We say the laying of hands severally. You don't say one is enough. Let me go and use it for something. No! I come again. Lay hands on me again. Many times, some people that you need many infusements to become something. You need to be laid, as it be laid on you like 20 million times. Keep going. Keep hearing those words again. No, have you ever been in a case where a word has come to you and you meet that same person or another person and that same word comes to you? It is not a waste. It is God re-emphasizing it because many times within us, we need multiple dosage of that word. Are you paying attention? Yes, now, you'll be able to take this if you recognize that words are spiritual assets. Be like Abraham. Be like Abraham. The words that you hear from God's oracle is worth more than any silver and gold. The words, know why?
Silver and gold can finish. Words don't die.
Yes, sir.
You can take it again, dust it, and bring it again. It will produce something again. Words don't die. Silver and gold is finite, no matter how much it is. This word has everlasting durations. The prophetic word that you receive at 19, at 90 is still working. Money can finish at 19, but these prophetic words, they are still working. Are you paying attention? Are you paying attention? Learn to value words. Treasure words. Treasure what words. Be one who knows how to use words well. As you receive what, pray, tongues, pray, give, do all of those things. Enforce it so much so that there's a way you handle a word in prayer, in fasting, in giving, that they will ask you that they said this word. You say, yeah, they said it. I can't remember. I always knew this word as my word. That is how you get a word to be that. Look at every patriarch in Bible. Look at every patriarch in scripture that received prophetic word. That's what they did. They immediately began to latch on it. They didn't say, if it happens, fine. If it doesn't happen, fine. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Be like those that met Jesus in his days of his earthly reign. See the centurion. He just told Jesus, "Just say, I'm coming to you." I said, "Don't come. I'm a man under authority. I know how word works." That's a man that valued words. Just speak the word. Now, notice that man. The reason why they even gave him audience with Jesus, people, they begged him. They say, "This man has been a good man. He's been generous. He's been giving. He even beat out a synagogue." I say, Jesus said, "I will go and minister to him." He said, "Don't come, sir. Just speak the words." I'm telling you, words are an important ingredient for advancements. And the words that you are receiving on this mountain are coming with force. Allow you to break things. Because we'll soon begin to pray and to minister. Allow it to break things. Glory to God. Say, so I receive words from the anointed. I have an habit of receiving laying of hands severally. I have an habit of communicating severally. I'm building. Yes, I'm doing the late nights. I'm building the business. But I'm speaking words. I'm giving. Sometimes you have words. They say, on the offering on the seas, they say, for Nolly Beauty, for this business. Begin to personalize things like that. Don't just like, well, let's just give an offering. Let's just give a love offering. We don't really do tithe here. Let's just give something. If you are in this game of power, I am telling you how it works. Sometimes people don't want to emphasize power. But if you need to break things, prayer, you will do. Meditation, you will do. Fasting, you will do. Giving, you will do. And confession, you will do. All of those things are indications that you have faith. Because walls will not break without faith. You won't leap over those walls without faith. Are you paying attention? Stop listening to people that say it's not about giving. You cannot buy things from God. But giving does something in your faith walk. Because the way that man understands value primarily is by money. So if you are going to value something, your money will go for it. When you are paying for education, it's something, it's not a tangible thing, but you value education. That's why you're paying for it. Right? So when you are giving your material things, amen, it is because you are putting value on what you have heard or what you're about to hear. I won't preach like this every other time. But in this matter of forceful advancements, fasting. Yes, giving. There was a video I sent with you guys, pastors. I said, one billionaire like that. I said, everywhere, if you see that, seed. You say, just an extreme. Do you want to be a millionaire? See, do you want to be a millionaire? Do you want to be a millionaire? Between that and the extreme, God will never be against generosity.
God will never say, ah, that is too much now. Nah. God will never be against it. God is always for generosity. In fact, those caution in your heart is usually the devil. Because the devil has come to realize that generosity breaks a lot of things. First of all, generosity breaks the hold of mammon over your life. Many people cannot receive much because mammon has held them. You see, the Bible does not really talk about God versus Asmodeus, God versus Baal, in the sense that it is taking. But when Jesus comes, Jesus says, ah, you have to choose between serving God or mammon. That's how much mammon is powerful. And the way that you break mammon is by giving. It's not by confession. You don't say, thou spirit of mammon, leave me be. No! You show mammon that you have no that he has no control over you by giving. I can give this. I can give that. I can give everything. I can give anything. That is the first state of mind for a man who will be great by God. Because if you are holding on to things, you are in fear. And the environment for miracles is fear not. So sometimes you may be in fear. Actually, what you will do is to give. Sacrifice something. Sometimes it's not just that I don't have plenty of money. It's not about what you have. It's what matters to you. Sometimes what you are sacrificing is that you did not eat. You did not eat. You have 100 naira, but you didn't eat for 3 days. You are praying, Rakashapa Rajate, Embrakashapa, I will have breakfast. I will have breakthrough. Oh, I've come to barbarism. 100 naira. That's all you have. But that is seed enough. That is seed enough. That is seed enough. By the time you begin to do things, fear will be going. You will enter into an environment of fear not. Are you paying attention?
Yes, sir.
Am I helping somebody here?
Yes, sir.
I may not want to do big things here. There are many people here who came from interesting backgrounds. Your background is not your limitation. I don't have a father that can sponsor me. Hey, hey, hey. There are many people who have built big things without sponsors. Abraham. He saw God as the possessor of the heavens and the earth. There's no man he was looking up to. I'm saying to you, stop looking to men. Yes, God will use men. But stop looking to men. Your uncle has disappointed you enough. It's okay. Stop looking to men. Your boss has disappointed you enough. It's okay. Stop looking to men. Why not go into prayer? Why not go and cry to the Lord? Why not pray? Why not use what is in you and put it upon you and break you? You know, there are times you have a business. And your business is just looking like it's too big, it's too enormous. I have a picture of what it should be, but how am I going to get there? Don't worry, you stand. 10 p.m. Come break it, Lore Hatish. Barate Kiria Kasapada Bukutush. Jin Kepo. See, in this household, we're doing 21 days fast. Why? That this business must grow. Ekri Kalabada. Everybody, Kila De Brombo Kotopo. 1, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, I sit there. 12 o'clock, you are sitting there, 1 o'clock, we give God praise. Meet again tomorrow. Something we give away, it is not you. I said something we give away and it is not you. Many times we run away too quickly. I want to encourage you. I want to infuse in you a determination to take everything you are doing very seriously. Take your ministry seriously. Combat it with prayer and fasting. Take your family seriously. Bombard it with prayer and fasting. Take your business seriously. Bombard it with prayer and fasting. Amen. I'm not playing about this. So in recent months, I've been sowing, me and my wife have been sowing in millions on behalf of our son. This one, for this boy. Why? Because we know how to receive things for people. That boy is blessed.
Yes, sir.
Are you paying attention?
Yes, sir.
So you can do it for yourself also.
Yes, sir.
Are you paying attention? Is this helping somebody? Say, I receive from God.
I receive from God.
In this river of utterance, I receive now.
I receive
In this river of utterance, I receive now. In this river of utterance, I receive now. The anointing of God is working for me. It's breaking tight places. It's breaking tight places. It's breaking tight places. It's breaking tight places. How many of you want to break through here? How many of you are ready to break through? I don't need to tell you to start praying. Now, as they do, now you go start to pray. As they do, now you go start to pray. I've said enough. Go ahead. Talk to God. You know, in breaking through, it's not gentle. The implication of breaking through is it is, amen, pause. Let me show you what a man, the state a man gets to when he's about to break through. Jacob has been a sneaky man on his life. He's so smart. He knows how to maneuver his way. And he got to a point first in Laban's house when he has come to the end of himself. And the God of Bethel shows up for him and instructs him. And he enters into wealth. But it's not just enough to be wealthy. Because he's leaving Laban's house for fear of his life. Now, he's going to Esau, who he knows is supposed to want to kill him. Now, of course, he meets a couple of angels in the Mahanaim. But that's not enough for him. At one time, at night, he goes and he meets a man who will now see that he's the Lord himself. And he said he wrestled with the Lord all night. The image that we have is that I will not let you go except you bless me. Now, someone say, is it that God does not want to bless? That's not the point. It is the heart posture of the man. The heart posture of a man who is willing to use the anointing. And that's what we say a lot in David's life, is that I will have this by God. So he will exert himself, pray, because he has said, I don't have any other hope. I don't have any other help. Jacob came to the end of it, said, there was nobody to help me, no king, nobody, no father. He didn't have any other hope, but he stood with God and wrestled all night. We don't have all night to wrestle. But when we are saying pray, it is not out of place to cry to God. Breakthroughs happen after many cries sometimes. Are you paying attention?
Yes, sir.
Are you paying attention?
Yes, sir.
You've been at a level. What will you do to break forth? I know by now I should have had this thing. My business should have grown to this. But I know by now I've been having dreams and visions and everybody saying, I should have my car. What are you doing about it? I know by now I should have my business should have gotten here. I know by now my sales should have gotten this big. I know by now, what are you doing about it? It's a time to break. It's time to break for. Let's pray. But before we pray, let me read a few verses from you from Isaiah. And this will help you. Isaiah 45, verse 1 says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I am holding, to what? Subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leaves gates, and the gate shall not be shut. To open gates is by force. The image of Cyrus there is subduing nations. Subduing nations is not by agreement. It's not by negotiation. It's forceful advancement. Are you seeing that? So we are going to pray for yourself that gates must be opened by force. Look at verse 2. It says, I will go before thee and I will make the crooked places straight. Do you know what it means to make a crooked place straight? How many of you have seen Julius Berger walk before? When they are doing road. No, they are straightening things. They are breaking things. Is that not by force? Are they not breaking things like hammer? Blocks are broken. Rocks are broken, right? Things are taken, excavated, right? Is it just, whoo? Is what? By force. Because sometimes when we read the Bible, we don't think about what we are reading. said, I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and I'll cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I'll give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, will call thee by thy name, I am the God of Israel. So Isaiah and God's word to Cyrus is, crooked places will be made straight. The gates of brass, which are the strongest kind of gates, will be broken. They'll be cut asunder. Amen? And then treasures will come. See also Isaiah 46, verse 8. Remember this and show yourself, men, bring it again to mind, all you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executed my counsel from the far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have proposed it, I will also do it. You're going to hear words that God is speaking to